podcasting for the digital photographer.
Hola, this is Tony.
And Tatiana from Slovenia.
We are on the Sound Sync tour
in Las Pampas of Bolivia.
And you are listening
to the tips from the top floor.
This is Tips from the Top Floor. And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
When you listen to this, I'm already gone on vacation. And this is the first out of four or five vacation specials. I'm actually not sure how many because I've produced so many now. Out of four or five vacation specials in a row, the next one will air in a week from now on Monday. And today it's interview time with a very special guest. He is by no means a professional photographer, but he has good things to say about the topic. I've been listening to his own podcast about Scottish independent music for a long time, and as a huge coincidence, we have actually both aired our show's number 50 on the exact same day. I'm honored to have him on the show today. It's Mark from the Tartan Podcast. But before we go into that, I'm happy to announce a little assignment for you all that will run throughout the month of October. Let me see, I guess I should make that end on October the 1st, which is the same day as the Rev Drive giveaway ends. Yep, that makes sense. Now, before you fire up your email to send me a picture, here's a little change in procedure. Handling the images, the assignment images manually has turned out to be a major time killer for me. So I have partially automated the process and now you can upload your images yourself. I will link to the upload form in the show notes. And again, please don't email images anymore. This is really killing my time. That's time I don't have for the show anymore. Please use the online upload facility to do so. The link is in the show notes. Oh, and I almost forgot to actually give you the assignment. Let's see. The assignment for the month of October is... Yes, Motion. Motion is the title. Well, let's see what you can make of that. And now, without further ado, here's today's interview. And today on the show, I have Mark Hunter from the Tartan Podcast. And the Tartan Podcast is one of my favorite podcasts. It's about independent Scottish music, and you can get to the website at tartanpodcast.com. And welcome, Mark.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, sure. Definitely. I mean, I've been listening to your stuff for so long, and it's just fun to finally get to talk to you in person. So I always wanted to talk to you, and of course I want to make this an interview about photography in some way. Even though you are not a professional photographer, I think we can still discuss a few things, and they, I think, certainly are of interest for many of my listeners, because there's a lot of amateur photographers on my show, and But I think first of all, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and especially about your show? I mean, how did you get into podcasting and things like that?
Well, I got into podcasting probably for the same reason that I got into digital photography, and it's just to try and be creative in some way. And I'd tried digital photography for 2 years, and I'd enjoyed using digital manipulation. But of course, when I heard about podcasting, and I'd listened to some music podcasts, I thought I could do this as well. So I started the Tartan Podcast, and at the Tartan Podcast, I try and play independent or unsigned Scottish bands just to give them an audience that at the moment they don't get. So it's been quite a fulfilling hobby. It gives me the chance to be creative, and it's always great when you get feedback where people are enjoying the music and the bands are pleased that people are listening to their music.
Yeah, the feedback definitely is one of the things that makes podcasting worth doing it. It's just amazing the distribution you get all over the world, and
exactly
getting feedback from everywhere. So you do three shows a week, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah, but that's the same show frequency that I usually have. Just not throughout the month of September. I'll be on vacation and reduce that to one show a week. There was actually, I noticed that, and we chatted about that yesterday for a brief while. We are at the same show number.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm recording this on the day where I released show number 50, and Mark has done the same thing. Today, on Friday the 26th of August 2005, you also released your 50th show.
Exactly, yeah. I put it up today. It'd been in the can for a week, and I just thought I'll build some anticipation for it, and I released it today, and so people can listen to it over the weekend.
And the other coincidence is that both of us did a show 49B, or you did a 49.5.
Yeah. It just helps to build up the anticipation, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it did. It did, and I guess from the feedback I'm getting so far, our listeners really enjoyed show number 50. So, congratulations.
Thank you, and you.
Thank you. So, excuse me. How did your whole photography thing start? When did you start taking pictures, and how did that come along?
I started taking pictures in school. It was my last year of high school, and I hadn't chosen enough subjects to fill up the whole of the week. So the school gave me the opportunity to do a number of different courses. One of them was typing, and I did typing, not realising that in years in the future I'd be using a computer every day, and being able to type quickly would be useful. But one of the other things was photography, and obviously it wasn't digital photography. This was maybe 17 years ago, so it was long before digital photography. So it was really the whole gamut of photography, loading the film into the canister, loading the canister into the camera itself, exposing the film, taking your pictures, learning about composition, and then developing your negatives, and then developing your negatives into photographs in the darkroom. So you learn the full range of black and white photography, and it was absolutely fascinating, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. One of the things that I enjoyed was when we get the opportunity to artificially manipulate the photographs after they were developed, you know, colouring them and using different techniques to change the development process. And now that I do digital photography, that's something I still enjoy doing, is manipulating it digitally, changing the finished result into something completely different sometimes from what you took when you were looking through the viewfinder.
So back then you probably used a digital a film SLR, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I can't remember what sort of camera it was, but I remember it was a small, cheap one because we were getting them at school, so we weren't given expensive pieces of kit. But I do remember I used to borrow my dad had a Zenith 35mm SLR, and he had a variety of lenses, and I would use his lenses and experiment wide angle telephoto, and he also had filters you could put on, and I remember I used to colour the filters, etc., just to get different coloured effects.
You coloured them?
I used to colour the filter. Yeah, you just use a water-based marker pen.
Oh, really?
And you could, you know, put a tint over the filter, and you could sort of darken sky. And yeah, so I had a lot of fun doing these things.
That's a nice experiment, actually. I think if someone out there has an old filter that he doesn't really need anymore, he could try that.
Yeah, I think my dad had actually made it himself. It was just a square piece of Perspex, you know, clear plastic, and it just slotted into the filter holder that used to screw onto the end of his lens. Ah. And you know, because it was just cheap plastic, you could do this. You know, you could paint over it, and there was no harm done.
That sounds very interesting. But then at some point in time, you went digital, right?
Yeah, it's almost 3 years ago. We were going on holiday in December, and I tried my father's digital camera a few times, and I realised I really wanted a digital camera. So I purchased, I think it was an Olympus C120, and I still have it. I still use it. It's a 2-megapixel camera, so it doesn't take tremendous resolution, but you know, it has never ever once let me down. And it's a camera that captures colours just, in my opinion, absolutely brilliantly.
So that's a point and shoot camera, right?
Just a point and shoot. Yep. There's no optical zoom.
Cool. I mean, that's and I've seen a few of your pictures, and it's just It doesn't really need a real expensive 5, 6, 7, 8 megapixel camera. I think you can really take beautiful pictures with a camera with lower resolution, and it's, well, what I usually say on the show, it's basically the photographer that takes the picture, not the camera.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's just finding the right picture to take, composing it, and even if you haven't composed it right correctly, cropping it properly afterwards. Just these things make a big difference, even with just a cheap camera.
So, where do your pictures usually end up? Are those mostly for the web, or?
Well, I have. I'm trying to think now. After my daughter was born. My daughter was born last November. I'd taken, you know, about 200 photographs in 2 weeks. and what I thought I would do is take the memory card into just a photography, a photo development shop. And they did a special deal on me. It was really, really inexpensive to get prints. So that was the first time I'd actually got prints of my digital photographs just a year ago. And I think I got 200 prints done, but for the most part, it's for on the web. I've got a pro Flickr account, and I think there's about 1,000 photographs up on that. So yeah, just get them on the internet.
Wow. What do you take pictures of apart from your children?
Apart from the children,
I mean, parents usually take. I'd say 80% of the pictures are of their children, so that's why I'm asking. What grabs your interest?
Well, fortunately, living near Glasgow, as I do, Glasgow is a city that's just full of just incredible architecture. And when I first got my digital camera, I would literally go into Glasgow, get the train in, and just walk around, just taking photographs of the buildings, of people. And for a while, I produced a series of photographs of newspaper vendors. And the newspaper vendors in Glasgow wear a very distinct red jacket. So this was ideal for digital manipulation, where I'd take a series of photographs of these newspaper vendors, and then on the computer, I would strip all the colour out of the photograph apart from their red jackets. So that was a little project I had going for a while. Also, where we go on vacation each year is just a beautiful spot on the northwest coast of Scotland, and the scenery and the landscape are incredible, so I always take maybe 200 pictures in the space of a week when we go on vacation. So landscape, architecture, people.
So
if it looks good.
That idea about series, I think that is a very interesting point, because I found that when you go out and kind of give yourself an assignment, something to look for, instead of just taking pictures of what you see, you get more focused and it really helps to bring out the creative side of you.
I totally agree. I found that also. You can wander aimlessly, clicking away, and you might not get anything that's worthwhile keeping. But if you do have a set project in mind, as you say, you're focusing your mind and you're actively looking for your subject, and I think it's a good idea to have a project now and again where you can really be focused on it.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm trying to do on Tips from the Top Floor with the assignments that I give out, where people get a word or some idea that they are supposed to take pictures of, and the amount of stuff I'm getting back is really tremendous and real good stuff there. So, having been into photography for quite a while, what are there any things that happened to you in terms of disasters, in terms of things that you really didn't expect to happen?
Well, photographing children, as you know, they never ever stand at peace. And, you know, for every two good photographs I have of my children, there's at least 20 that you couldn't use for anything other than deleting immediately. But I don't delete them, I just always keep them, you know, because it's still good to look back on them. So I think that's been part of the appeal for me about digital photography, is that you're allowed to make mistakes, and you can make hundreds and hundreds of mistakes and it won't cost you a penny. Where we go on holiday, there's very, very steep sand dunes, and one day my son decided to roll down the sand dunes, and I think I took 50 shots. I put the camera setting on rapid fire, and I must have taken at least 50 shots of him rolling down the hill, and 49 of them weren't of any use at all, but there's just one photograph captured him just right in the proper part of the frame where you can see his expression on his face and you can see the texture of the sand. So 49 mistakes, but it was worth it for just the one good photograph, you know.
The keeper ratio, I think that is one of that's a very interesting observation. I did a sound seeing tour a while ago where I took pictures of lightning, and
yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a very low keeper ratio there. I took, I think, 120 pictures in the course of 1 hour, and I ended up with two or three ones that I think came out well. So keeper ratio, yeah, sometimes, especially digital, it's worth just shooting away when the situation requires it. And another thing, a very good point here, you said you keep your images even though they might not be that good. That's one. I read an article about that recently that was really interesting. Someone said that even though he might just choose 1% of his pictures to share with others, he still keeps them all together, even the bad ones, because later on when he goes back, those other pictures give context to that one picture that he chose.
It's exactly right. It's a very good point. I remember maybe 3 or 4 months ago, my daughter and I were at home. It was just the two of us. And I thought, I'll take some photographs of her. And in the process of uploading my photographs onto Flickr just last week, I was going back through these ones again. And there's maybe only 3 or 4 that I capture my daughter well. The rest, you know, they could be put in the bin. But it's when you see all the mistakes, you do get the whole context of the good photographs. And also it's funny because you look back and she's pulling ridiculous faces and things, and you know, it's good for a laugh as well.
Definitely. So your photography projects, are there any ones in store that you want to do in the future?
I think it would probably involve me upgrading my camera to one that I had at an optical zoom. I feel slightly limited with just the point and shoot without optical zoom, and because of podcasting just takes up so much time and so much creative energy, I haven't really focused on any new projects. So you know, there's nothing really planned at the moment, unfortunately.
Maybe we should find an assignment for you and have you send in a few pictures.
Yeah, you could do that. Well, my mobile phone has a 1.2 megapixel camera, which, you know, it actually takes really good snaps. And I've been doing it recently, just pulling it out of my pocket and taking snaps of things, random objects. And sometimes that can be quite good because it's almost like a diary where you can look back through of where you were and what you were doing, you know.
That's right. Yeah, even though I do use a digital SLR, I absolutely don't mind anyone using a mobile phone to take pictures. I think, again, it's not the camera, it's the photographer. And I've seen so many good pictures taken with real crappy cameras. I mean, some are taken with disposables and things like that, but you can still tell someone has an eye for photography.
I think that's the whole joy of photography as well. It's being in the right place at the right time. And if you've got, whether it's a mobile phone or whether it's a disposable, if you can get that photograph, that's what counts, really, you know. You could walk around all day with a digital SLR and never get that perfect photograph. So it's just being in the right place at the right time and having the eye just to capture it.
And pressing the shutter at the right moment.
Exactly.
Especially when it comes to kids photography, I guess.
Oh, don't. Oh, man, it's really bad.
Yeah, well, there are subjects that are difficult to take pictures of, but then I think it's really rewarding if you get those. And if it's just 5 out of 100 you take that really make your day, I think it's still worth it.
It was my son's first day at school last Thursday, so obviously the camera was out, and I took quite a lot of photographs. And again, you know, you can throw a lot away, but there's just one or two where he's off guard and you just capture the moment of his first day at school. And that's when photography really is special, you know, just those moments.
Do you have any tips from an amateur photographer to the amateur photographers?
Yeah, particularly when it comes to digital photography, don't be afraid just to take pictures. And I know it's been mentioned on your show before, but buy the biggest memory card you can afford and just shoot. And if you've got your camera, take picture after picture after picture. And the odds will be, when you review your shots later on that day, you'll find one or two fantastic photographs. So, you know, forget anything you might have learned about photography when it comes to film. It doesn't apply anymore. You can maybe take 200 or 300 photographs on a card. Just go for it.
Thank you very much. I think that's a real good tip. That was Mark Hunter from the Tartan Podcast at tartanpodcast.com. Mark, thanks so much for being in the show. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
And it was a pleasure to be on. Thank you very much.
Sure. Anytime again. And everyone, go to tartanpodcast.com and check it out.